Let me just say that I feel very blessed, very privileged to be doing the last reading before Richard goes. And it's from Joshua 1, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 9, and it's on page 216. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen.
Morning. Now I'm all kitted up. Before I begin the service sermon proper, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you all. Thanks for all the support, for the prayers, for gifts, for meals, especially after Sue's death. Thank you for all the well wishes and cards that I have received. I think I'm going to have an extra lorry to move all the cards that I've got to you. Thank you for making the last 13 years exciting years with God. I thank God that the three churches that I have ministered in as a minister from 1985 to this day, overall I would say I've had a fantastic time. There have been ups and downs, as always there are in life, but with God, I know he's been with me all those times. When I was ordained back in 1985, although one person who wrote me a book, gave me a book, said, well done for your ordination of 1958. I would have been a very young minister if that was true. It was 1985, he transposed it. So I thank you all. Thank you for the retirement evening, for all the work that Faye and her team put in, and that Gloria and her team put in to the food as well. Unfortunately, that is cricket bats on alive. That's one thing I shall miss in Huntingdon, because it's not really multicultural. So I shall have to. So what I've learnt, what my mouth has now learnt to cope with a curry and everything like that, it'll just lose it. Unfortunately, somebody said, "Am I going to be like Frank Sinatra?" I.e. come back again. Yeah, he retired, but no, I've got my mug, so that proves that I'm going. But actually, Frank Sinatra and I do have one thing in common. We sing the same now, because because I can't sing, and at the moment he can't sing either because he's dead. So I can sing like Frank Sinatra can. But to continue, some 13 years ago, just over 13 years, probably 13 and a half, Sue and I were interviewed by Ashurst Drive Baptist Church Selection Committee. It was the Deacons Plus. And I remember Brian was the chairperson of the committee, and we asked each other various questions, and one of the questions thrown at me was, Richard, was this: what gives you the greatest pleasure about being a minister? And I thought, because I, you know, had this instruction before, take a few seconds before you answer the question. So I sat there looking learned, or trying to, and thinking, what do they want me to answer? When I baptise people? When somebody's converted? The fact that I can sit all day in my office and not do anything if I wanted to? You know, what was it? Actually, the reply count was actually truthful. And this was a reply: when I see somebody move closer to God, that means if somebody's a long way away and I see him move a bit closer, I get excited about that, because then I think, well, they might move a bit closer again and they might continue. Or even if they're right at, you know, this end, if you like, and they're very close, but to see him move even closer, that gives me greater delight than anything else. Yes, there's baptisms on the way, there's conversions on the way, there's reception into membership, but all of those are part of that same question. So I thought, what do I preach on in the last sermon I shall be preaching here? I thought Hazel was going to introduce the last sermon ever at Ashurst Drive Baptist Church, everyone. And I thought I could do a Jacob. You remember Jacob on his deathbed? He got all his 12 sons in front of him, and he went through each one and sort of told them a bit. So I thought, well, if I could get a people book, and I could start at A with Rachel Abdul, and then work all the way through, we haven't got any Z's, to W's. Mrs. Audrey Winter Lashley. And I thought, that'll take too long, really. And also, I'm not on my deathbed. I may be getting older and more decrepit, but I'm still... So I thought, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. It would take too long anyway. You know, although somebody did say yesterday, am I going to break the record of sermons? I thought, yeah, that'd be good. So the Guinness Book of Records, I believe, says of the sermon, the longest sermon ever was 48 hours. All right? So I hope you brought your sarnies this morning, if we were going to do that. One of the things that's astounded and amazed me is that I get paid for something I love doing, and that is reading the Bible. I get paid for reading the Bible each week to prepare... I read the Bible, and I love, and that word's in Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, those words have been with me now for longer than I care to remember, but it says, be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm not going to stop reading the Bible just because I've stopped being the minister of a church. I read the Bible daily before I became a minister, and I shall carry on reading the Bible, to study it, to learn from it. Reading the Bible and praying are two vital parts of my life. Talking with God has to become, or still is, a vital part of my life. As a church, as God's people, myself, we must be careful not to water down the Word of God. Often churches, it seems, they water it down to try and make it more acceptable to people. Now, we may change the delivery system, and we may change our views on certain extremities, what Paul calls the disputable matters, but not on the fundamentals. And the Bible, if you look and know it well enough, is the answer to all of life's questions. Even if you can't Google the Bible and say, can you please find me a verse that says this? It may not do that. But if you read it and get its overall tenet, then it will give you the answers. But there needs to be context within an answer. You can't just string out a Bible verse. It has to be context. There has to be relevance. Bit like Paul, when he was directed by God and writing to the church of Corinth, he writes this in part of his first letter. He says, it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not even occur among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you're proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and put out of your fellowship the man who did this? The Corinthian church thought they were, well, I've got various words there, and they thought they were hip, trendy, wicked, or whatever the word is in vogue at the moment. You know, by the time we get it, our kids have got a new word and phrase. But they thought they were being great, allowing this person to do that, and thinking it was great. Because when we're with Christ, we're free, free to do what we want. Actually, that behaviour and the condoning of that behaviour was dragging the church down. Because if we try and water down the gospel, then people are going to look at us and say, what difference does it matter if you're a Christian, if you go to church, if actually your behaviour is exactly the same as those outside? There can't be anything in this Christianity. Part of moving into a new neighbourhood, as I am, is I shall have new neighbours to talk to and to tell them about my life and God in my life and God's love, which is what we should say. So that leads automatically on to what I believe we should be spreading the word. Spreading the word. Be like Paul and Barnabas, who they faced a hostile crowd of Jewish believers, and they said, says they said boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and did not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For that is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Those last words are often read at Christmas because they're part of the prayer of Simeon in Luke's Gospel. You may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We're not to hide in our churches and never go out. But we're to go out and talk to people. Live amongst them as the people of God. But as Paul said, some will turn their eyes away from the truth, turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all duties of your ministry. Worried me for ages, those last couple of phrases. Do the work of an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. I can't do that. And actually, I agree with you. I'm not an evangelist. I'm evangelistic. I want to take that message out, but I'm not an evangelist. You could say, yes, but I can do the last bit. I'm a minister. But then who is a minister? I would say everybody's a minister. Part of our Baptist ecclesiology, how we run a church. It's just a posh way of saying how we run a church. All right? Let's do a little quiz. You know how we love quizzes here. Right. Whoops. That's interesting. Let's say a few words. Who can preach in a Baptist church? I might have given you a clue. Anyone. Who can lead at communion? That's right, anyone. Next one. Who can baptize another? We don't all have to shout at once. Who can baptize another? That's right, anyone. Who can take a wedding? Anyone. Yeah, as long as you've got a registrar there as well. All right, that's a bit in brackets. You need a registrar. Okay. Who can take a dedication? Anyone. Who can take a funeral? Anyone. And you may be thinking, why do we need ministers? That's another sermon for another time. But they are useful, I can assure you of that. Last question. Whose ministry is it to take the word of God to others? Everyone's. Everyone's. Yes, in a Baptist church we do have ministers because they're useful for directing the church and they are there full-time thinking about the church. But in our churchmanship, there is no role, no job, if you like, that is peculiar to the minister. Anybody can preach, anybody can take communion, anybody can baptize, anybody can do a dedication, anybody can do a wedding, anybody can do a funeral. And we are all to take the word of God out. That is all of our responsibility. And we mustn't get complacent. A church is never full enough. A church is never full enough. There is always room for expansion. If it gets too big, you plant a daughter church in a slightly different area. Quite a few churches have done this. You can have several morning services. I did go to a conference. He was American, the person saying it, from Florida, and they had 5 services, 2 on Saturday evening and 3 on Sunday morning. And it was the same service, same sermon. The only thing they did was they used to meet after the first 2 on Saturday and go, say, what was good and what was bad? And then they would change the bad and keep the good. Or, I'm not sure if you could do it here, it would be more difficult. Some churches put in a balcony. You might only get very small people up on the balcony here, underneath the rafters. Or, you knock down the sanctuary and build a bigger one. Go out that way to the road, whatever. Just that, you know, we need to think about, churches are never big enough. If they start to get too full, then you rethink. But we mustn't be complacent. One of my favourite Old Testament books, Zephaniah, says this. He says, at that time, God speaking, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, neither good nor bad. Never be complacent. always look to keep going for growth rather than stagnate in maintenance mode. Should always be in growth mode, never in maintenance mode. Complacency isn't what God wants of his people. As I said before, there are three churches in which I've been a minister, of which I have felt supported in all of them, right from the early days in the 80s up until now. The tens, is it the tens? We had the noughties, the ten, I suppose it's tens. And that's what we should do as churches. 1 Thessalonians says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest esteem, or the highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. My hope, my prayer for Ashurst Drive Baptist Church is that you will support Amuta, as you read in the weekly sheet, last week's members' meeting. Amuta is now staying for a further 4 years at least. So 1 year as the way she is as a student, as a minister in training, and then she becomes a NAM, which is a newly accredited minister, and then after that she becomes a FAM, which is a fully accredited minister, and I suppose I become a RAM, which is a retired accredited minister. I'm not sure if there is a name for it. They don't bother with a name for us, we're too old. But, support her and the deacons. They need support. As I've just said, who can do the jobs in church? Anybody. Doesn't need to be, the minister. So that's what I mean. One thing is to pray. But actually, at times I think we use that as a way of getting out of doing anything. We go, I'll pray for you. Which means I won't do anything else, but I'll pray for you. For members, if you've been baptised and you're asked to have your names put forward as a deacon, think about it. Think about it carefully. And don't do what often we do, which is when we're asked to do something, we have this automatic process that goes no, and then we'll say, then yes, it goes off in our mind, but we can't say no because that looks unchristian. So we go, I'll think about it and pray about it. But actually, you already know the answer that you've got. I would like us to think yes, and then go, ooh, I'm not sure if I can do this. Have I got the gifts? Does God want me to do it? But actually, somebody asking you to do something means that they have thought about it, they've prayed about it, and they think God has directed you to them to ask. And also, this is a personal one, think ahead. Think ahead. First week of the school holidays, block it off in your diary, take your time off work, and come and go to the holiday club. Well worth going to. But without helpers, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Think about other things as well that comes up. But it says, encourage one another. Live in peace with one another. Follow the word of God. And the kingdom of God will grow. That will please God, and God will help it to grow even more. As one of my favourite verses says in Zephaniah again, what will happen? The Lord your God will be with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. With God singing over us, what more can we ask? Let's pray.